You can go ahead and grab a seat. Well, good morning. You know, I 2 weeks in a row now, I neglected to actually introduce myself during the welcome moment. And I'm like, yeah, some people know me here, but some people don't. So my name is Justin. I am not only the lead pastor at True North Church, I am the only pastor. And I am just beyond thrilled to be with you today because I shared this a little bit last week, but this is a dream that's been 2 years in the making for me to be able to launch this church in this community and to be able to have an impact and begin to hopefully help people. Like, that's why we're here. That's why we're going to do everything that we do around here. We want to help people. We want to help people discover Jesus because we believe when you discover Jesus, you discover a better life. And that's it. That's the mission. And help people become world changers. Because we believe every person that's sitting in this room, God has a plan and a purpose for you. And he wants to use you to make an impact and make a difference in this world. And we believe this is a place where you're going to be hopefully equipped to go out and to do that. And so last week we began a brand new series, the very first series in True North Church history, called The Lies We Believe. The lies we believe. You know, the fact of the matter is there's not very many things in this life that are more painful than when you are lied to. I think we can all agree with that. And what we discussed last week is that lies aren't painful because you've heard something that isn't true, or lies aren't painful because you've told somebody something that isn't true. We've all said things that aren't true, and we just didn't realize they weren't true. What makes the lie so painful is that there's deception involved. You are being deceived in some way. And what we talked about is this idea that the worst kind of lies are the ones that we actually believe. Those are the ones that have the most potential to do serious, serious damage in our lives. Those are the ones that I myself, those lies that I tell myself, those are the ones that I'm more blinded to than any other. Because I know what's best, right? I've got this all together. And so I tell myself these lies, and what it does is it keeps me in the dark. It keeps me from the truth, and it keeps me from growing and experiencing all that God wants me to experience in this life, the goodness of who he is. The fact of the matter is this, is that we have an enemy. And I don't know if you're a Jesus follower in the room today or not, but I believe we have an enemy, and I believe he wants us to fail in every aspect of our lives. He does not want us to thrive. He does not want us to be successful. In fact, what he wants is your complete destruction. That's the truth this morning. He doesn't want you to be successful in this life at all. Scripture tells us that he is the father of lies, and he will use lies as his number one tool, his number one tactic to make us believe things that are going to hurt us and not only damage our relationship with God, but damage our relationship with other people. And so last week, we began with this very first sort of lie that we believe, that I am valuable because of what I do. That's a lie. We're not valuable because of what we do. And here's the temptation. We think that if we're valuable because of what we do, then one of two things happens. We either become arrogant, and we believe we're better than other people, or we feel worthless. Because as we look around, everybody else is better than me. They're doing better things than me. They're more successful than me. And neither of those two things are the way that God wants us to live this life. What he wants us to understand is that we are valuable because of whose we are. We are his. We are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And nothing will ever change that. Nothing you do or don't do will ever change that. But this week, we're going to get into a second lie. And I really believe that this lie, maybe more than any other lie, is the reason that so many people have doubts about God. That they have doubts about whether God loves them, whether God cares for them, whether God exists. And you might even be sitting in the room today, and you might be questioning right now whether or not God loves you because of this lie. And I got to tell you, it breaks my heart. It does. It breaks my heart because what we're going to discuss this morning, I believe it's a prevailing thought in our culture. And even amongst those of us who follow Jesus, who call ourselves Christians, It's really hard sometimes to wrestle with this thought and this idea. So here's how it goes. A good and loving God wouldn't allow so much pain and suffering in the world. How could a good and loving God allow me to go through some of the things that I've gone through? How could a good and loving God allow them, my friends, my family, people that I don't even, how could he allow them to go through what they are going through? And I don't know everybody in the room today, but I know this about you. You've asked this question before. God, why? God, why? Why did you allow this to happen to me? Why did you allow this to happen to them? God, why would you allow Hurricane Dorian to completely destroy the lives of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, innocent people? How could you allow that? God, how could you allow my little boy or my little girl to get cancer or get sick? They're innocent. They've done nothing wrong. How could you allow that to happen? How can you say you love me when you've let that happen in my life? God, my wife and I, we've tried and tried and tried and tried for years to get pregnant. All we want is a little baby to call our own. And it hasn't happened. If you really love me, why? God, why? And I think the challenge for us is this. As we look around our world and we see all the destruction and all the devastation, as we look at our own lives, it is so difficult sometimes. And I'm going to be the first one to admit to you, I'm a pastor. I've been a Jesus follower for 30 years. There are still some circumstances and situations in my life where I wake up and I'm like, God, why? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you allowing this to happen in my life? A good and loving God wouldn't allow this to happen to me. He wouldn't. But what breaks my heart is this. It might not seem like it, but it's a pure and utter lie. Nothing could be further from the truth. Your heavenly Father truly does love you. And this is the truth that we're going to talk about this morning. The truth is that in spite of everything bad that we experience and see, God is good. He is good. It might not seem like it right now in the midst of what you're going through. It might not seem like it based on the things that you've had to go through in your past, but God is good. And I want to spend just a few minutes of your time this morning unpacking this idea, because here's what I believe. If we will change our perspective and look at God differently through the lens of truth and not the lie that our enemy wants us to believe, I think you might actually walk out of here and maybe for the very first time in your life be able to navigate this life with the perspective that no matter what happens to you, no matter what your circumstance or situation, God is good. I'm going to pray for us again because we need it. We need it in the room this morning. We need God's Holy Spirit to speak. This is such a difficult and challenging topic and issue. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for your truth and your word. I pray right now that you would open our hearts and open our minds. God, I pray that whatever we might be dealing with right now, whatever circumstance and situation we might have in front of us, God, that we would see you as good, that your truth would just reign in this place this morning. God, I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth would be from you. And we'll give you the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if we're going to unpack this idea, this is going to be a little bit different type of a message because we're going to go like kind of deep and theological here this morning. All that word means theology, theological. It's just the study of the nature of who God is. And that's really what this question comes down to. It's a study of at the very core, who is God? Now, we've got to start with two very basic premises, I believe, if we're going to really unpack this thing. Number one, whether you are a Jesus follower or not, whether you believe in God or not, I believe everyone in the room can agree on this. The world is an evil place, right? You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be a Jesus follower to recognize that. We live in a messed up world. We live in a jacked up world. Every day, turn on the local news and you're going to see it. People killing other people and taking other people's lives. People lying and cheating and stealing from people, right? Gossiping about people behind their backs, doing things to hurt other people. Every day we see this. Natural disasters happening all over the place, right? And maybe the most egregious example of all, how I know there's evil in the world, is that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the Patriots keep on winning Super Bowls. Can I get an amen? Like, I am so tired of seeing them win. Just so tired of it. You want to know how there's evil? That's how I know there's evil in the world, right there. But the second premise is a little harder to wrestle with. In fact, I think for a lot of us, it's probably the number one reason that if we've had this idea, if we've bought this lie that God isn't good because bad things happen in the world, this is probably the one that gets us. And it goes like this. It is evil because of people. The world is evil because there are evil people in the world. And sometimes I'm one of those people. That's the reality. And I think a lot of times we look at God and we say, how could you allow bad things to happen to good people? Right? I think we've all said that. We've all thought that before. God, they were good. They were innocent. They've never done anything wrong. Let me ask you something. Let's have a real moment here. Let's have a heart-to-heart. Have you ever had a really negative, and I'm talking like real negative thought about somebody else? Have you ever thought, you know what? I don't like them very much, and I really wish that something bad would happen to them. I wish that they would lose their job because of how they treated me. I wish that they would get hurt because of how they treated me. And maybe you are like super spiritual and you've never had that thought before, but I'm going to be honest with you. Again, I'm your pastor. I've had those thoughts before and I'm ashamed to admit it. That's evil. There's something evil about that. We are not good people. Like when you get right down to it, I am not a good person. Just a couple of weeks ago, it was breakfast time in our house. I'm on breakfast duty most mornings. Almost every morning, Logan eats cereal. And we get some good cereal in the house. And I like cereal. I don't know about you, but I could eat cereal breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? So we had some Frosted Flakes in the house. And the Frosted Flakes were getting real close to being all gone. So Logan comes downstairs. He saunters down. He's thinking he's getting cereal in the morning. Hey, you know, what's for breakfast? Can I have cereal? And I'm thinking in the back of my head, you know, there's not that much Frosted Flakes left. And he's eaten most of it. So he's getting oatmeal this morning for breakfast. Just think about the insanity of this for a second, okay? I am a grown man, okay? Or I'm supposed to be an adult, right? I hoarded Frosted Flakes from a 6-year-old. Like, there's something wrong with that, okay? What kind of a messed up person does that? Right here. Yeah. Why? Because at my core, can we just be honest for a second? Can we take the masks off for a second? I'm not good. I am not a good person. And I don't know a lot of you, but here's the truth. You're not that good either. You're not. You might do some good things. I'll give you that. Absolutely. 100%. I do some good things, but really, truly at my core, I'm not good. Come on. I love the way that Paul puts this. Paul wrote much of the New Testament, wrote a lot of letters to the early church. And this is what he says in Romans 3, verses 11 and 12. I want to put this up on the screen and let's read this together. It says, there is no one righteous. There's a few that are righteous. No, there's no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And what we need to understand about what Paul is writing here is two things. One, if anybody in the history of the world, any human being could boast about how good they were, it would have been Paul. Because this dude had an incredible impact in the world for the gospel and for Jesus. So he's writing this. He's saying, I'm not good, you're not good, nobody's good. The other thing we need to recognize about this is Paul is actually quoting from the book of Psalms here. Psalm 53. And the man who originally wrote these words is a man named David. So now you have Paul, probably one of the most righteous men in the history of the world in the New Testament. And you've got David, who scripture says was a man after God's own heart. David, maybe more than any other figure in the Old Testament, loved God, did so many good things. But you know what? He did a lot of really awful things too. And he knew it. He knew he wasn't good. And so he wrote this hundreds of years before Paul brought it back out and shared it again. No one is good. No one is righteous. And so that's the first thing that we've got to wrestle with and we've got to grapple with. Because here's the reality this morning. As long as I believe that I am a good person, that I don't deserve any consequences for any actions in my life, I am never going to look at God as good or loving. I won't. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to look around at all the things that have happened to me and all the things that are happening in the world, and I'm going to go, nobody deserves this. And what Paul is trying to explain to us here, what he's trying to help us understand is, yes, we do. We do deserve it. Now, I want to throw this disclaimer out there because I think this is so important. The specific things that we've done in our life, the specific sins that we have in our life, those specific sins did not cause a specific bad event to happen in your life. We are talking about a macro level here right now, not a micro level. Because here's what I've heard before, and I believe it's a lie. Well, you know what? You went out and you got some woman pregnant out of wedlock. And now because of that, the child that was born and now has Down syndrome is because of that sin in your life. Lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's not true. What is true, though, is that the world that we live in is jacked up and messed up on a macro level because of sin. And I want to look at a passage in scripture here that I believe really illustrates this. You see, we aren't just suffering on a spiritual level from the sin in our lives. The earth itself, our bodies are suffering from sin. Where did that all start? It all started back in the very beginning in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve, right? They lived in harmony, perfect harmony with God and the planet and the animals and everything in creation. It was all in perfect harmony. And then one day they made a choice to be disobedient, to not do what they were supposed to do. And from the moment they did that, something happened. This world, our bodies, our spirits, they began to decay. Let's read this together. So immediately following this, he says to the woman, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. You see, from the moment sin entered the world, from the moment we made that choice, guess what began to happen? We began to die. We began to decay. Life became so much more difficult. The earth actually began to change. That's what it says. The physical earth changed because of evil in the world. And we are the ones who brought it into the world, not God. And that is a really, really difficult concept for us to wrestle with. It's not God's fault, it's our fault. And until we get to a place where we go, okay, yeah, God, I recognize that I have played a part in this. I play a part in this because of my wickedness. We're never going to see him as loving. Now, I know what you might be thinking right now, because I have thought this exact same thing so many times. God, why would you even give us a choice? I mean, come on. Like, if you knew, if God is sovereign, right? Scripture says God is sovereign. He is all-knowing. He's in control of everything. If you are in control of everything, why did you even allow evil to be a thing in this world? Why let us go through all of the stuff that we are going through right now? And I believe this one concept, this one idea, this changed everything for me when I began to understand this and realize this. And I hope and I pray that maybe it will change it for you. You see, without choice, without the ability to choose, love isn't love. Just think about this with me for a second. In order for us to experience love, and all good things come from love. Scripture says that God is love. In John chapter 4, he is love. He doesn't just do good things. He is love. Everything good comes from love. And everything evil in this world opposes love. It's the opposite of love. In order for us to experience love, real, true, authentic love, there has to be a choice. If Autumn comes home and she is forced to love me, that's not love. It's something else. That's control. That's manipulation. If we don't have a choice, here's the reality. We are nothing more than a robot. I'm no different than a rock. If I don't have the choice, the ability to choose whether or not I'm going to love God by being obedient to him or not. Don't miss this. This is so powerful. And at first, you're going to be like, what? Without the ability to choose, without the ability to choose, there is no real love. And so the reason that there is evil in the world is because of that choice and that love. Think about it for a second. We can't love if we don't have the choice. Otherwise, like I said, I'm just a rock or a robot. And if that's true, here's my question for you. Is love worth it? Is it worth it? Because I don't know about you, but love is the greatest thing that I've gotten to experience in this life. The love that I receive from God, the love that I'm able to have between my spouse, the love that I am able to have with my kids, with other people, with friends and family members. And for me personally, I wouldn't trade it. Yes, a ton of crud has happened to me in my life, but it's worth it for love. It's worth it. And I've gotten to experience the joy of knowing Jesus Christ, of having relationship with God, of having relationship with other people that I would never have if I didn't have that choice. Yes, evil entered into the world because of that choice. But we get to experience his love. And here's the best part. This is what makes all of this come together. And for me, gives me hope. And today I hope it gives you hope. God knew. You don't think he knew that we were going to choose what we chose? He knew. He knows everything. He knew exactly what we would choose. And yet, he loved us so much that he allowed us to choose and to choose unwisely and yet come up with a plan to make it okay and make it right so that we could experience his love, so that we could experience all the goodness that he has to offer in this world. And even though we made a wrong choice, Even though we allowed sin to enter into the world and rule in a lot of ways in this world, he said, you know what? Instead of just saying, forget it, he said, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix it. How did he fix it? Well, I love how Paul puts it. He puts it better than I could possibly ever put it. This is what he says. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his love for us by sending Jesus to pay the penalty, to take the consequences for our screw-ups and our mess-ups and our sin. I mean, think about this for a second. Think about how insane this is. If you commit a crime in this culture, and especially you commit multiple crimes, you commit multiple murders, you rob multiple banks, you do... Every person in this room would say that person deserves the consequences that are going to be coming their way. Send them to jail and send them there for a long time. And I guarantee this, again, I don't know you, but I know this about you because I know this about myself. If that's some stranger, I am not taking their place. Not a chance. No, I'm not taking the consequences for what you did. I'm not going to jail for you. I'm not going to the chair for you. No. Maybe, and I think it's a big maybe, if it's somebody that I know and really care about, maybe I would be willing to do that. But in the moment, I don't know. That's a tough one. What Paul is saying here is this, that in spite of everything we've done, every crime, so to speak, that we've ever committed, I'm going to take your place in the jail cell, in the prison cell. I'm going to take your place in the chair, and I'm going to make it so that you don't have to reap the ultimate consequences of your choices. He demonstrates his love for us. There is no greater love than this, than to sacrifice yourself for someone else. That's what Christ did for us. He is a loving and good God. He gave us the choice so that we could actually experience love. And when we didn't choose the right thing, he made a way out of it. I can't think of a more loving thing to do. And so as we wrap this up here this morning, I want to talk to two groups, just like last week. First, if you're sitting in the room this morning and you're questioning and you're doubting and you're wondering, God, why? Why? How could you allow all of this stuff to happen in my life? As I look around the world, I can't reconcile it. It doesn't make any sense to me. You can't be good. You can't be loving. I want to ask you to see through the lens of the gospel. That God does love you, that he does care for you. And in spite of all of the stuff that's happened to you, he wants you to have joy and peace and contentment and to thrive and to one day be in eternity with him when all of this crud that we go through in this life will be no more. You see, here's what God understands that I think we just so often miss. You know what God cares more about than anything? It's our spirit. You know why he cares about our spirit? Because we are a spirit. We are not a body. We have a body. That's what C.S. Lewis so eloquently said. You are a spirit that has a body, and your body is going to go bye-bye one day. That's just the harsh reality of life. It's going to fade away. But your spirit is going to live on forever and ever and ever, one way or the other. And so what God is trying to do here is he's trying to get us to recognize that I'm about your spirit. I want your spirit to thrive. And your spirit, don't believe this lie. The lie is this: well, if circumstances and situations and bad things are happening to me and around the world, then I can't have joy and I can't have peace and I can't have contentment. That's not true. Because we serve a God who wants to walk right next to us, who wants to put his arm around us and say, you know what? In spite of all the crap that we're going through, I'm with you and I love you and I have made a way so that you can have a future and so that you can have hope. And so here's my question to you. If you're wrestling with this, if you've ever wrestled with this in the past, would you rather go through this life without God, living in an evil world? Or do you want to go through this life, living through this evil world, knowing that you have somebody with you every step of the way who wants to help you, who wants to be with you, who wants to give you a hope and a future? The truth is this, we talked about this. This was the very first premise. There's evil in the world. Whether you believe in God or not, there's evil in the world. So do you want to go through life with God who loves you and cares about you and has a plan for your future? Or do you want to go through this life without him, struggling, fighting through all the difficult things that we have to go through? This is my challenge to you today. Know that he loves you so very much, that he desires to be in relationship with you, and it takes one simple step. God, I'm sorry. I done messed up, and I want to follow you. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord, and from this point forward, I'm going to let your truth speak into my life and help me have a better life. Help me have more impact in the world. That's it. It's that simple. Right? We talked about this last week. It's this word repent. The word repent has gotten all twisted around and made into this horrible word in our culture. All it means is to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've done. And I want you in my life. And I promise you this, from the moment you do that, from the moment you begin relationship with him, he's going to change everything. Might not happen all at once, but your life will never be the same. Second group, if you're a Jesus follower in the room and you've ever struggled with this, God, why is this happening to me? How could you let this happen to me? Know this. Never forget this. In the midst of your pain and your struggle and whatever it is you're going through, God is good. He is so very good. And he's with you. You know, I have this image of a football player got jacked up on the field, leg is broken, can barely walk. And there's Jesus walking out on the field, picking him up, putting him over his shoulder, helping him walk off, helping him mend and get better. Don't forget that in the midst of your pain and your struggle. But I also want to throw a challenge out there for you. If you're a Jesus follower, we have a responsibility. I believe this. Because we know the truth, because we know how good God is and how loving he is, we have a responsibility to get out there in our community, get out there in our world, and to share that with people. I believe that the greatest testimony we have as Jesus followers is how we respond and react to the difficult situations and circumstances that we face in this life. As life happens, and it will, as tragedy strikes, and it will, how we respond in that moment says so much to a hurting world around us. It shows them that there can be hope in the midst of the worst circumstances. And so I want to challenge you, no matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult it might be, show that to the world. Show them who he really is. Show him that he does love them, that he is good, that he loves you, and it's changed everything. Father, I thank you and I praise you for being good and loving, even when sometimes it doesn't feel like you are. I thank you for giving us the choice to love, and because of that, we get to experience real love, authentic love. God, I pray that you would remind us of that every single day as we sometimes crawl through this life. Remind us that you are there. You are walking with us. Remind us that you came up with a plan before all of this even went down. because you loved us that much and you wanted us to be able to experience that and have relationship with you and relationship with others. We're so thankful for what you are doing in our lives, for the hope and the future that you have given us. May we take that back out into the world and share that same hope and future with others. In Jesus' perfect name we pray. And everybody said, amen.